you mean? Praise the Lord. That's, oh, you got me. I thought I was going to faint, you know? No, dear Lord. So Psalm 111 and 12, they're what we call acrostic psalms, or they're alphabetical on each of the verses. So let's begin tonight. Don't fear, just say hallelujah, beginning in Psalm 111, verse 1. And he starts out, and it says, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. He says, I will praise the Lord with my what? Whole heart. Oh, let's do that tonight. Let's just do that in our hearts. Amen. All through this week, every day of our life. He says, oh, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So when he says, I will praise the Lord, he's saying, I'm going to glorify the Lord, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart. And you know what happens when you glorify the Lord with all of your heart? You shut out everything else. There's no room for anything else but God. Amen? And this psalmist, he says, listen, we don't know who he is, but he says, listen, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to praise the Lord in the assembly of the upright, meaning when I'm in fellowship with my friends. And he's also going to do it, he says, in the congregation, meaning in public assembly, like we are tonight. And so why does he say hallelujah? Look at the next verse. It tells us, he says, for the works, plural, of the Lord are what? Oh, they're great, aren't they? And they're studied by all who have pleasure in them. The smallest work of God is great. The things that are seen, the things that are unseen. I mean, think about God and how he's created, all that he has done. Can you imagine creating a speck of dust in the universe and it hangs on nothing? You know, Job said that the earth, it hangs on nothing. Only God can do that. Amen. And when God does things, listen, what he makes, there's no mistakes. He never has to have an update. You know, never need to reboot it or have a recall, you know, like, you know what I mean? No, everything God does is perfect, and he's perfect in all of his ways. And he says those who really praise the Lord, and when you see his works, he says they are to be studied, or they're to be sought out. They're to be investigated by us. And the reason we do that is because God's works are to be studied. Look at verse 3. He calls his works, look how he describes them, honorable, glorious, wonderful. He says his work, singular, is honorable. His work is glorious. His righteousness endures forever, and he has made his wonderful works to be what? Remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Isn't it amazing? God says, I want you to never forget. I want you to remember my wonderful works. Do you remember God's works, how he works in your life? You know what I mean? Listen, do you remember when he saved you? Do you remember how he blessed you? Do you remember how he helped you when you needed help? Do you remember that? Even at the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus say? He says, do this in remembrance of me. And one of the reasons that we do this is not only for us, it's for our children, it's for our grandchildren, and so forth. You remember when Joshua, there when he led the second generation out of the wilderness area over into the land of Canaan, the promised land, and the Lord said, listen, you're going to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. And he says, I'm going to dry the river up. Remember how the Jordan stood up as a heap, it says. I think it's in Joshua 3, all the way back to the city of Adam so they could cross over. That was 20 miles away. Would you ever forget that? Oh, man. I mean, think about Grapevine Lake. You know where Grapevine Lake is, right? Yeah. Think about it. All of a sudden, it stood all the way up, and it went all the way to Dallas. And the lake was completely empty, and you could cross over on dry land. That's what the Lord is talking about here. And remember, after they crossed over the Ark of the Covenant and all the people, God told them, you go back now, take one man from every tribe, put a big stone on his shoulder, and put that stone in the middle of the Jordan before he would release the river. And as a memorial, he said, don't ever forget what I've done for you. Do you remember what Joshua did, though? Joshua went back to the middle of the Jordan, and he retrieved all of those 12 stones, took them up to Gilgal, and he made a memorial for the Lord so everyone would always see it. In other words, a visual. You see, God wants the children and your grandchildren to remember all the great works he's done for you and what he's done in the Word of God. Let me read from Joshua 4:6. God says that this may be a sign among you, talking about the stones, that memorial. Says, when your children ask in the time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial or a reminder to the children of Israel forever. So these stones taught the parents a responsibility. Do you remember how kids loved, you ever notice how when the little ones, and they don't care how many times you tell them the story? Am I right? Yeah, they don't care. Oh, tell it me again, Daddy. Read that story. I've read it 500 times, you know. But no, they never, it's always fresh to them. You know, we need to remind our children of all the great things that God has done for you. And you might ask yourself tonight, how in the world could it be that the children of Israel, that when they saw all how God dried up the Jordan, sent it all the way back to the city of Adam and stood up as a heap, you might be saying, how could they ever forget the miracle there? And how could they ever doubt God again? But see, we need to ask ourselves that question. How often do we forget how God's provided? Come on. You know, God does a great thing, and then 2 weeks later, we're depressed. Come on, let's be honest. We're the Wednesday crowd. We can be honest. The Sunday people, you know how they are. They're kind, you know, we got to be careful of those guys. But we're family tonight, amen? See, you're on a Wednesday night, you're here because you really want to be. Amen? I don't know if it's true or not, but it made me feel good. No, listen, we forget about how good he's been to us sometimes. We forget about how he comforted us or when he healed your body, all those things. You know, maybe some of you that have been here as long with me since the very beginning, maybe you've forgotten over these past 30 years all the great things that God has done for this place, for us. I haven't. Oh, God is so wonderful. Listen, whenever God does something special in your life, whenever he does a miracle in your life, when he answers that prayer that you have been praying and with supplication, with a heart that's almost begging and pleading, oh God, help me. When he answers those things, you know what you need to do? Why not just build a memorial in your heart, in your mind, and say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to ever forget this. See, sometimes we just don't want to be afraid. We just need to say hallelujah, amen. We just need to say, praise the Lord. You know, I remember when my wife, Becky, when she was diagnosed many years ago with the cancer, and the Lord told her, you go get 5 smooth stones. Remember, you know the story. And so to make a long story short, those 5 smooth stones was a memorial. God healed her body. Amen. And here's the deal. They're still right now in the living room this very night. Right there. They're always a reminder. Every time she looks at them, every time I look at them, I go, praise the Lord. You just say hallelujah. Amen. I remember many, many years ago. I can't remember how many, but it was a long time ago. I think it might have been even 1998. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, I want you to go back to the very place that I saved you. And so on the 8th month, I went back there to Florida, there on the beach, and it was August the 8th, 1998. This is August the 4th. And I went back to Florida. I went back to this on the same month. I went back to the same day, the same spot, and I got this, and with the same person who led me to the Lord on that spot almost 5 decades ago. 8 is a number of a new beginning. I went back and I looked at everything again now that I was older, remembering there on that beach that morning, the guy who led me to the Lord, his name is Michael, we held hands together right there in that same spot And you know what I did? I rededicated my life all over to the Lord, even though I was pastoring here, right here. And then, Michael, you know what he did? He bowed his knees and did the same thing. What a glorious thing. See, it's a memorial. It's a place to remember all the great things that God has done for you. Amen. And that is so important in our life. It says right here, he has given food in verse 5, or provision to those who fear him. And the reason that God, he will be ever mindful of his covenant, the incredible faithfulness of God. Listen, we may forget sometimes, and we do, what God has done for us, but do you know that God will never forget you? Never. He'll, like you've heard me say, he'll never relax his hold upon you, and he'll never forsake you. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And the works of his hands are verity, or truth, and justice. In other words, he's always faithful in what he does. And all of his precepts are sure. All that God does is right. All that God does is fair. Life is not fair. People are not fair. God is always fair. He says here, and they stand fast. In other words, all of his precepts, the word of God, they stand fast forever and ever. They never fail us, not one time. He says, and are done in truth and uprightness, are literally in absolute truth. And he has sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Awesome is his name. Did you know our God is an awesome God? If you have a King James Bible, that word there is reverent, or reverence. And that title, reverence, or people say, I'm reverend so-and-so, and I'm not being critical of any denomination or people right now, but there's no one reverent but God. And that title belongs to no man but God. He is an awesome God. That's who he is. He's awesome. And our God is so faithful. His word is always dependable because it's always true, because we have a God that can never lie. And not only that, the word of God, that he never changes his word. It's absolute. Amen? It's to every generation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And did you know that God's word and God himself, the Holy Spirit, he will never deceive you. He'll never lead you the wrong way. He will always lead you the right way. See, you can trust the word of God because it is eternal. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:18? He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away. He says in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, or the very starting point, of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. You know, we've been talking about on Sundays, you know, the Gnostics and the wisdom and knowledge and so forth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:7, it says that the fear of the Lord, I'm not talking about where, fear of the Lord is where we're in awe of God. Amen? But I fear the Lord too, but it's that all, he's our Father which art in heaven, amen? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the very first step, is the fear of the Lord into true wisdom. Every time you open the Bible, you have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the word of God. And remember that the knowledge of God is when we apply the wisdom of God. Now, it says in Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens to me, talking about the wisdom of God, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me, meaning wisdom, finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me, meaning wisdom, God's wisdom, they love death. What a word. So let's look at another Psalm 112. That's another wonderful hallelujah psalm. It starts off the same way. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? Say it again. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be happy tonight. That's what that word blessed means. It says, happy is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in his commandments. You know, a godly lifestyle is the greatest thing that a person can have in their life. It's the highest calling of man. Amen. You know, it says we're to fear the Lord, not fear the world, but fear the Lord. You know, we just learned that those who do not fear the Lord, they lack the wisdom of God. You know, there's so, when you think about this world, I mean, is there a lot of fear in our world? There's all kinds of fear. There's fears that I didn't even know about. Let me give you a few of them. You ready for this? Here's one, acrophobia. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. No, it's not aqua. It's aerophobia. You know what that is? Have you, anybody, fear, no. I have that one. No, fear of a draft. Fear of fresh air. I mean, hello? Here's another one, barophobia. You know what that is? Fear of gravity. How can you fear gravity? This is not made up. I Googled this. Hello? This is the spiritual advisor, Google. Here's one, anthrophobia, the fear of flowers. Bathmophobia, fear of walking. And I don't know if I can pronounce this. Arachophobia, fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I never heard anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, did you know, and I was looking that up when I looked all those up, and then I found out something else. Did you know that some Christians suffer from fears? Let me give you a few of them. You ready? Chronophobia, fear of time, like in a church service. Bibliophobia, fear of books, like the good book. Cheerophobia, fear of gaiety. Ecclesiastic or whatever phobia, meaning the fear of coming to church. Neophobia, fear of anything new. Homilophobia, fear of sermons. Now, there are five blessings in this psalm for those who fear God and delight in his commandments, beginning in verse 1. It says again, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And look at God's promise. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. There, you know, we all, and if you, when you become a parent, do you sometimes have fear about your kids? Come on. We all do, don't we? Yeah, listen, it's our great fear, but one of the great fears is we love the Lord and we want our children to love the Lord and serve the Lord. Amen? So sincere parents who fear God and delight in his word, you know, look at the promise again in verse 2. He says, listen, this is what I'm going to do for you. You see, God, when he pronounces you blessed, does he change it? No, we're believers, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been pronounced blessed, and once God does it, he doesn't relent. He won't change it. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Right this minute, whether you believe it, whether you feel it or not, God has pronounced every true believer blessed in his sight. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Now look at verse 3. These blessings, wealth and riches will be in his house. Does that mean everyone's going to be rich? Come on, you're a much better taught church than that. No. And you know what? It's not always about money and so forth. You know what? A happy, peaceful, loving home is a rich, wealthy home. Amen? Where there's no arguing and there's no cursing and there's peace. Amen? That is a blessed home. You know what? And this scripture means, though, if you are rich and God makes you rich, it will not deceive you and turn into your God. Do you understand? It says wealth and riches will be in his house, and it says, and his righteousness endureth forever. So obedience to God leads to a successful life. So that's wealth and riches, security fears. We all, as you start out in a baby Christian and you grow up, and finally you start trusting the Lord more and more and more, don't you? But we all started with those security fears, and meaning that, God, are you really going to provide for me? Listen to me now. You will never, loved one, you will never let go of your financial fears until you truly believe with all of your heart that the Lord God is your sole provider. Everything you have belongs to Him. Amen. He really is your sole provider. What did Jesus say about the things that we need in life? Remember in Matthew 6:33, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things." If you read the whole in context, it would talk about your clothes, your food, the things you need to live on in this life. He says, "All these things will be added unto you." Well, God's going to take care of us, loved one, and He always will, He always has. It says in Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich." That's a true word. He has no sorrow with it. Whenever God makes you rich, if He does make you rich, it's a wonderful thing, because the money is not, you know, going to control your life. Amen? It says in Proverbs 30, verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that is allotted to me." I say hallelujah. Look at verse 4. He says, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. And he, meaning the upright person, he is gracious, meaning he's full of kindness. He's full of compassion. Remember, we're in Mexico right now. Why? We're compassionate. We're people that have pity. "He who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God," the Bible says. And God says, "I will pay back what has been given." So an upright person is full of kindness and tender. And he's also righteous, meaning he does what is right. And so there it says, the upright, there arises light in the darkness. Have you ever been afraid of shadows when you were a little child? You know, back when I was growing up, we didn't have air conditioning, and you had to sleep with the windows open. You could hear the wind when it started howling, and the leaves, and then when the leaves started falling, and the wind came in, you could hear them go down the street. That's a little 6-year-old boy, that can kind of scare you. I mean, I know everybody here is really brave, never had any of those experiences, you know. But you know, the fact of the matter is that Jesus said in John 8:12, He said, "Listen, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me shall have the light of life." Will never, ever walk in darkness. Never walk in darkness. And listen, all people, no matter saved and unsaved, will walk in times of hurt and darkness and painful times in their life. But only the Christian is not only is he out of darkness or not in darkness, he knows the way out of darkness. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Sometimes when I was a young Christian, I'd read that and I'd hold my Bible down like it was a light as I took my steps. And that's exactly what that word means right there. It says in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light, he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We should be afraid of nothing. Just say hallelujah, amen. Now, he says, "Oh, a good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion." So is there any good men here tonight? I need some money. Everybody's no good tonight, right? No, I'm just joking. But listen, you know, being generous to those who have need, this is not to those who take advantage. Do you know why? Do you know that? And the reason we know that, look what it says. It's not about, we're not helping those who are going to take advantage of us. And it tells us why. Because we do it with discretion. He says, "Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance." Boy, I'm so thankful that we are rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus tonight, aren't you? You know, a lot of times Christians fear change. You know, the sheep, they don't like to be, they like everything to be, I want to sit in the same chair Don't change the time of the service. I did that one time. I thought the whole church was going to have a nervous breakdown. You know? No, they like everything. You know, four songs, Bill. That's it. Why did you do five? What's wrong with you? You understand. They don't like change, man. But you know that fear of change. But can I tell you something? Everything changes. Everything is changing right now in our world. But God never changes. His word never changes. And he'll never change on you. He loves you tonight. He says this. Look at this now. He says, surely he will never be shaken. No, we're going to be established, all right? The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Now, watch this. Talking about them and us tonight. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. And look at the reason. His heart is what? Steadfast. It's fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Did you notice it didn't say my mind is fixed? It didn't say my body or any of those things. It says my heart, the inner man, the mind, the will, the emotions, the soul, if you will. He says my heart is resolute. It is firmed. It is firm. It is fixed. It is unwavering, immovable. It is steadfast. Is your heart steadfast tonight? I pray it is. And listen to me now. Our hearts are only steadfast, immovable, cannot be shaken when we trust the Lord. Look at it again. What does it say? He'll not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is steadfast. And the reason? He's trusting in the Lord. Look at verse 8. His heart is also established. And again, talking about fear. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. In other words, bad news. There's a lot of bad news today. You know that? Some people just thrive on bad news. I thrive on good news, okay? Meaning the Word of God. But some people, they just do that. And there's more bad news today, it seems like, than there's ever been in my lifetime. I mean, you cannot go to Google News or Fox News or CNN, whatever you go to. I don't know, BBC. I mean, there's always tragedy everywhere in the world. I mean, just tonight, did you know that there is a cobra? You know what a cobra is? It's a snake, amen? I don't want anything to do with them. You've heard of the king cobra? How they swell right here when they look at you? If before they strike. I don't even want to know why they do that. There's one in Grand Prairie. Thank you. Loose in Grand Prairie right now, going through the neighborhood. Anybody want to go over there? No, it's talking about, you know, bad news and so forth. Listen, you know, you look today, there's now the COVID variant. The things that, you know, when I just wish it would end. Oh, don't you? I'm praying for it to end. So you've got the COVID, then inflation fears are now creeping in again. There's violence in the streets. People are just all mad and angry. Evictions, things that are happening. Everyone is angry. Have you noticed that? People can't even walk down the street in New York City and other areas if they're Asian or this or Vietnamese, or, and they get beat up. That's insanity. See, these evil tidings, this bad news in everything, violence in the streets and violence in our stores, violence on the highway. I have never seen such violence and anger on the highways in Texas. Never. It used to be very polite. People were polite, you know. Now, they're not polite anymore. And not only that, our airways, are they polite? Are people that in the planes? Oh, listen, all you have to do is open Google the news and it goes, Frontier flight attendants. What did they have to do? They had to duct tape a drunk, irate drunk to his seat with duct tape. It really happened. It just happened. And I'm going, I'm not getting on a plane. Did you know that of the 5,000 flight attendants in our nation, a report came out yesterday that 85% of our flight attendants have suffered abuse from people on the airplane just this year, meaning the passengers, just this year. Look what they're going through. It's just, you know, they're asking, please help me, please help me. And you look out there, we have 18 states that are on fire. There's parts of California. They don't even have any water. Now, let me say something to you tonight. What if America is under God's judgment? Listen to me now. God doesn't have to send plagues for us to be under judgment. Do you understand that? He only has to do one thing. I want you to listen to me now. God only has to do one thing to this nation, and that's lift his hand. And that's what is going on right this minute. God is he's withdrawing. He's lifting his hand. You don't want me? In God we trust is scribbled over. No, you don't want me. You want to go ahead and do what you want to do, pass all these laws, legalize every sin under the sun. Okay, I'm going to pull back. And you don't want me to help you anymore? Go help yourself. That's what's happening in our nation right now. I have never seen such confusion. And you may say, Bill, you are so depressing. Oh, no. Oh, man, depressing. Oh, no. Listen, we live in a time of uncertainty, even though we are certain of the outcome. Amen? Yeah, we know what's going to happen. You know, this world that we're living in, it's not falling apart. You've heard me say it a million times. It's not falling apart. Our world is falling into place. It just like God said it was going to fall into place. It says, when you see these things happen, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Jesus may come tonight. He may come right now. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'll beat you on the way up. I'm gone. Listen, God is good, loved one. We don't have to be afraid. All we have to do is just say, hallelujah. All we have to do is say, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we do. That's what the redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord, the Bible says, say so. Listen, let me give you some good news tonight. The church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will never prevail against us. And let me tell you something else. The church that Jesus purchased with his own blood will never fail. We know the truth. The truth has set us free. We don't have to worry. We know the world is going to start falling apart. And maybe we're the generation, the last generation, before the church is removed. I don't know. But I do know this. I am looking for the blessed hope, amen? I'm looking for the glorious coming of my Lord. I'm listening, waiting for that shout. Boy, when we are taken up to be with him and we shall meet him in the air and we will forever be with the Lord. We have nothing to fear. Listen to me now. An established heart, a fixed heart, an established heart is not afraid. Why? He trusts the Lord. He trusts the Lord. We look through our circumstances. We look through our problems, loved one. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Oh, you're a well-taught church. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Did you know that you will never fail by trusting God? That's never. That's the greatest thing you can do is trust the Lord. You know what? How can we fail if we trust in the Lord and he's the one who is directing our paths? Remember the Hebrew word direct? Remember the word, what it means? It means to make level. It means to make prosperous. It means to make smooth our path. Now, and I've always said, remember what I say? That definition, God's definition may not be your definition of what a smooth path is. Sometimes God's smooth path is we're going uphill, right? Do you understand? But that's the hill we've got to climb right now. So let God define what that a smooth path is in your life. All we have to do is just trust him with all of our heart. And you know what that means? To trust God with all of your heart means total commitment. Anybody ever been bungee jumping? Suzanne's going, no. Okay, you know what that means, right? Is it an elastic cord, I guess? And you jump off a bridge? I mean, what kind of wisdom is that? So, and you just jump off, and I guess you go all the way down. There's the water with all those crocodiles and rocks and all of that kind of stuff. And then you get about, I guess, what is it, a foot from the water? I don't really know. And it snaps you back up. I don't know the rest of the story. But I'm going to tell you, whoever does that, their faith has to be on that elastic band. Hey, hello? Now, that's what I would call presumptuous faith. That's what I would call tempting God. However, what I'm trying to say is that's total commitment. That's total trust. We're to trust God with all of our hearts. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Amen. Oh, verse 9, "He is dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn," or his strength, "will be exalted with honor." That's the future. What a great future that we have. But look at the future of the lost. The wicked will see it. They're going to be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. What a sad word. Now, Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 begins what we call the Hallel, or the Psalms of the Hallel, okay? These are the Passover Psalms. Jesus would sing them when they were in Jerusalem, celebrating Passover with the disciples and so forth. And let's look at it again, 113 verse 1. It starts out again. What does praise the Lord mean? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, "Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and evermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. Let the name of the Lord be praised." In other words, praise him from the east all the way to the west. And why? For the Lord is high, or literally the Lord is supreme above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. Listen to me. God not only deserves our praise every morning when we wake up, all during the day, and at night when we go to bed, but his name should be praised all day, every day, over every square inch of this planet. Amen? And one day, it will be. You ever wonder about an atheist? You know, I mean, they don't believe in God. I don't know what an atheist believes in. But nothing, there you go. But the problem is, whenever they want to give thanks, who do they give thanks to? God. An atheist doesn't give thanks to God. He doesn't. I mean, who are you going to thank? Oh, thank my dog. I mean, what? Hello? No. I mean, what a sad, sad life. Man, we get to praise the Lord. We just get to say hallelujah, amen? He says, "Oh, who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth," meaning that he comes down, he draws near to you and me. Listen, you ever just, who is like God? Who is like unto the Lord our God? Did you know that that challenge will never be answered, because there is no one like God? God has no equals. Amen? Oh, listen, you know who is mighty like our God? You ever think about that? Who is mighty like our God? He comes down, he's so mighty, but look what he does. He has counted or numbered the very hairs upon your head. Boy, he cares for us, doesn't he? I mean, he's so wonderful. Who is faithful like our God? I have a little in my office. I have several, now they're all gone except for, I think, for one, but it's for children. I like to get children gifts, you know what I mean? They come down the hall sometimes, and I'll go in my little toy chest and pull out something for them, and I have one, it's in a package, and inside of it is a bottle, and it says, "This is a bottle that God has for you for every tear that you've ever cried." Psalm, what is it, 56:8. Man, listen, every tear. Who is faithful like God? He catches every tear that you cry. Did you cry something? Did you cry today? Did you cry today? Did you cry yesterday? Listen to me. It says that the psalmist writes in Psalm 50, he writes them in his book of remembrance, meaning what that tear meant and why you cried it. He keeps your tears in his bottle. Man, there's no one like God. There's no one like God. I've cried a ton of tears in my life, haven't you? Most of them I've forgotten about, thank God. God hasn't. Are they not in his bottle, the Bible says? Oh, listen, who is like our God? I'm telling you what, who is loving? Who is more loving? Who is more trustworthy, forgiving, and caring than our God? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care, meaning that word care, anxiety, your pain, your hurt, your stress, casting all of your care, throwing it, casting all of your care upon Him. Why? He careth for you. Isn't that something? There's a lot of people that don't care for me. You should read some of my emails. Some radio listeners, they don't care for me, okay? You should, but it's all right. But there's not a moment that God is not caring for you. He cares for us. Oh, I tell you, what a great verse that is for us tonight. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might or power. And don't let him, a rich man, boast in his riches. Here it comes. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, saith the Lord, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. Wisdom, power, riches, all of those things. God says, oh no, true success is measured only one way, and that's by knowing Him. And tonight, He knows you, and you know Him. Amen? You're close to Him. He's close to us. He is present with us. Oswald Chambers put it this way, every one of us is as close to God as He has chosen to be. Oh, and look how the psalmist ends this in verse 7. He says, He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap or the dunghill or the garbage dump. And look why He does it. He lifts them out of all that trash that He may seat him with princes, with the princes of His people. And He grants the barren woman, those that have no children, a home, like a joyful mother of children. Now the psalm ends the same way it began, with what?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All we have to do is, we don't have to fear a thing. Amen. All we have to do is just say, hallelujah. Amen. Just praise the Lord. Listen to me now before we leave tonight. Are you in fear? Fear is a crippler. We all have certain fears. I know that. I'm not making light of it. But listen to me. God says, I don't want you to be afraid. I just want you to say hallelujah. Amen. Listen, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given unto us. That fear doesn't come from God. It'll never come from God, loved one. And maybe tonight you're like that, where it says He raises the poor out of the dust. Maybe you feel like your face is right down in the dust tonight. I'm going to tell you something about our Lord. He is not only ready, He is willing right now to raise you up. Well, there's no one like God. There's no one like Him at all. Or maybe you feel like you just crawled out of a trash dump, that dunghill, that ash heap. Well, I'm going to tell you, He's ready to not only lift you up, He is ready to raise you up right this minute, if you'll allow it, if you'll let Him, as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed. Oh, loved one, listen, as everyone is just praying and thanking God tonight, if any of those things are troubling you, if you're weighed down, if you are burdened, if you're full of fear, if you feel like your face is just pushed to the dust of the ground, why don't you let God be the lifter of your head tonight? And you just, if that's you, no one looking around, every eye closed, but if you are afflicted like that, why don't you just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. That's right. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you. I just want, yes, God bless you. I just want to be raised up. I want to be raised up above these circumstances. Lord, I just want to be lifted up out of the ash heap tonight. Lord, you saw your sheep. You saw their hands. You see their heart. And when they lifted their hands, Lord, that's a sign of their faith. They believe you. So, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, by your mercy, by your compassion, by your goodness, by your promises, touch your people. Lift them up. Raise them up. Oh, Lord, let them not be afraid. Let them just say hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Everybody say hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Isn't God good? You see, we could have gone to the church across the street tonight, but you came here. And that church is closed, so never mind. Have a great week. Have a good week. We're going to close with a song. As always, if you need prayer when the song is over, make sure you put your mask on and you can come to the altar and there'll be someone there to pray with your every need. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you, keep you in Jesus' name. Let's sing.